overcome because he overcame. And we are in Christ. Glory to God. So each and every one of us, we are overcomers in Christ. Glory to God. You're not a loser. You're not a quitter. We're not going to quit, but we're going to overcome in every area. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Praise God. And I want to remind us, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Do we have a testimony tonight? Yeah. Can you remember and think of something good God's done for you? Has he healed you? Has he delivered you? Has he set you free? Glory to God. Are we seeing victory in our families? Praise God. Did we see some things on Sunday? Miracles. We have testimonies from there. Pain left, dizziness left. Souls were uplifted and set free. Praise God. And we give God all the glory for that. And we're going to continue to see it more and more. Praise God. If it's your first time watching, listening, or hearing about us, our website is vlfc.church. You can find out more about us, submit your prayer requests, testimonies, access our past messages, video, audio, and sermon notes. Those sermon notes are not for the weak. Praise God. Get a hold of those sermon notes. It doesn't do us enough good to just come on Sundays and Wednesdays, but there's days in between. We need to keep feeding on the word every single day. Praise God. There's also Pastor Rodney's daily devotional that helps us out every day to get the word of God, to get that. It's not even a nugget. It's a meat entree. It is. Faith bites. Praise God. Light in the darkness. And there's a prayer and confession that'll definitely get you going in the day. And I want to encourage you to read that every day. Praise God. It is uplifting. You know, it sets us on the right track. And so, speaking of church, Sundays, doors open at 9. Pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Thank you all for coming to pre-service prayer. It makes a difference. Your supply makes a difference. Yeah, we see that in the message. We see that in the service. So come early for coffee and fellowship on Sundays. Wednesdays, we are having the discipleship course, Jesus, the Miracle Worker. What an awesome time we're having. It's sessions filled with teaching, discussion, activation, hands-on ministry lab training. Praise God. So Sunday or Wednesdays, doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. Come early for fellowship and we'll have snacks afterwards. Amen. We look forward to that. So if you haven't eaten your dinner, like some of us, we look forward to those snacks extra tonight, don't we? Friday prayer is right here from 9 to 10. I encourage you, if you can, if you're out, come to Friday prayer. Friday prayer is awesome. We pray over you, the church. We pray over the community to see the move of God, and we learn about prayer on Fridays as well. Also, for volunteers, we currently have openings for greeters, coffee station, ushers, video production, children and youth ministry, and our worship team. And so if you have a heart to lead prayer or discipleship class, come see us, come talk to us, and we want to get you plugged in. So we want to say thank you to volunteering. Praise God, we cannot do it without you. We need one another. And I want to remind you about the baby bottle boomerang. It started Mother's Day, but it's not too late to jump in. There's some baby bottles over there. We fill them with cash, change, checks. And there's also a QR code you can scan. If you do that, it takes you to give online, but then there's a drop down to write in the church, Victory Life Family Church, because that way we can all account for the churches that are giving. And that goes to Pathways to support life in our community. Praise God. And so again, invite someone to church, be intentional. And if you would like to turn this evening for our offering to Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 33. Verse 24, it says, you cannot serve God and riches. No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. Do not worry. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Tonight, he was feeding them in our backyard. Our backyard was full of birds. They were just digging for some bugs and worms. And, you know, they didn't have any issue. They were all out there having a good time, and they don't lack for anything. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more surely clothe you? It says, O ye of little faith. Verse 31, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And that sums it all up at the end. We're seeking first his kingdom, and he's taking care of the rest. Praise God. So we set our eyes on him. We set our hearts on him. We do what the word of God says. We sow our seed. We reap our harvest. We hear, first of all, the voice of the Lord. Do this, do that, sow this, give here, go there. And as we do, he's faithful, and we're going to see that harvest in our lives. Amen. Praise God. And so tonight, as we're giving, I want to also make the announcement on our building project. We're believing still $5,000 above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings to come in by the end of May. The end of May is very near, right? And so this is for our building project. So we're believing for our building and property of our own. Right here, we're in a rented space, which is a very nice space, but we're believing for our own building. Praise God, whether there's one in town that he has or one he's going to have us build, with lots of room for growth, rooms for prayer groups, connect groups, nursery, classrooms, children ministry, young adults, and fellowship hall. Why do we always mention this? We're keeping the vision before us so we can see it. We're in this together. It helps us, right, as a team, know that we're going somewhere, and we will see it. We've seen it in our own lives many times. Sometimes it's sooner than others, and sometimes, you know, look at the chairs. You know, that was part of a vision, and here these chairs are, all the way from when we started in our basement. And so things are happening. God is faithful. So we say, believe for it. Use your faith. Watch God do what only he can do. He's our source. So far, $2,295 has come in. Praise God for that. And there's $2,705 remaining. Nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen. So if you're given online, just choose building fund for the drop down. If you're given towards the building fund in the room, write it on the envelope. If you're given by check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving by cash or card, you need to fill out your address and sign it at the bottom. And let's say our offering confessions tonight. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed. We speak to you, produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest and bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again, in Jesus' name. Praise God. You may receive the offering.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Paula. Thank you, Lord. Let's say it together. Signs, wonders, miracles, manifestations, demonstrations, visitations of Holy Spirit tonight. Amen. Praise God. We are expecting. We're expecting to see the goodness of God. We're expecting to see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Whatever you need here in this room, those of you online, just reach out. Be expecting. Be ready to receive. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, even while you're just sitting in your seat, even while you're just sitting in the seat, the washing of the water of the anointed word of God is present to heal you, to restore you, to deliver you. I've been in meetings, been in services, you know, and people just sitting in the service, you know, while they were sitting there, they got healed. Amen. Faith was coming and they're getting healed just in a corporate environment of faith. Praise God. So come in faith. Always come to church in faith, expecting to hear a word from God, expecting to receive something that you need. I promise you, if you will come in faith, Jesus will always meet you at that point of faith. You will receive a touch. You'll receive a word. You'll receive exactly what you need. I did that myself for many, many years when I was sitting in the pew. And even now when we go to conferences and things like that, I'm listening and expecting to receive. When I watch teaching and other ministers and stuff online daily, I'm feeding on the word. But when I tune in on YouTube or however I follow them, I'm expecting to hear a word from God. And guess what I do? I do. Amen. I'm refreshed. I'm blessed. And so I want to invite you when you're here, when you're at home, wherever you are, driving down the road, be engaged on purpose in faith. Praise God. Without faith, the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Amen. And we are believing by faith. So again, we see that we're diligently seek him. I'm on purpose finding out what God has to say about my life, about this situation, and whatever he shows to me to do, I'm going to go do it. That is being diligent in my faith. I believe God. I'm going to hear from God. And whatever I hear, I'm going to do it. And whatever I do, it's going to work. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for the word. And we thank you that Christ, you are the miracle worker. Jesus, you are the healer. And we receive here in this service tonight, we receive healing power is present to heal each and every one of us in this room, those of us online, and we receive it now. We receive it now. Tonight is my night. This word is my word in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for this tonight. We thank you for eyes, ears, hearts, and minds being open to receive everything that you have prepared for us in Jesus' name. And if you agree, say amen. Praise God. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and we have our Wednesday night format as we've been on here for a little while on this series, Jesus the Miracle Worker. You all have your handouts. They're online. You can go to our website, blfc.church/sermons. Go click on this message, and you can pull up the notes to follow along with us, you and your family, wherever you're at there. Praise God. But tonight, this title to tonight's message is Faith Obeys Before It Sees. Amen. Faith obeys before it sees. Now we can all remember Thomas's faith or lack thereof. You know, we have come to know him as Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas eventually did get it right. You know, but what did Thomas say after Jesus was crucified and died there on the cross and rose after 3 days, and they're coming and telling Thomas about it? He said, no, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to believe it. As an act of his will, he said, no, I'm not going to believe it. I choose not to believe until I can not just see Jesus. I don't just need to see the holes in his hands. He said, no, I need to go put my finger in those holes. I need to go put my hand in his side. Then I'll believe it. And what does Jesus tell Thomas? Oh, Thomas, that's okay. I understand. No. He rebuked Thomas and said, no, Thomas, stop being faithless. Stop being faithless. Why didn't you just believe the word I told you before I went to the cross what was going to happen? it happened exactly that way. And now these trusted disciples you've been with for all these years now come and told you what happened, you know, and now you still don't believe it. And he said, I will only believe not just when I'll see Jesus, but when I can actually physically put my hands in those holes. No, stop being faithless. So again, faith obeys before it sees. Praise God. So we're going to look at this here tonight. Praise God. And this miracle itself is it's about a man who is born blind. He's never seen a day in his life. So he's experienced a lifetime of limitation. He's lived in a community that has ostracized him, really labeled him. And Jesus looks past all that to see what no one else has ever saw in this man before. Praise God. So this miracle tonight is going to show us a few things. One is we're going to see that Jesus, when he sees these things, he sees purpose where others will see problems. Jesus rejects the blame game and he reveals the destiny. Jesus opens, again, what has been always closed in this man's life from his birth, but here also Jesus invites us to participate in his work. Again, for you to experience a miracle, for you to experience a breakthrough of any kind in your life, it's going to require an act of faith, an act of obedience on your part. This is not about what, you know, whether God can or whether God can't or his power. We see this over actually in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they come out of Egypt. God, you know, the ten plagues, you know, that goes through there and God delivers them. They get out to the Red Sea and then, you know, Pharaoh's armies closing in behind them. And then a pillar of fire, you know, shows up in front of Pharaoh's army till the children of Israel can, and he parts the Red Sea. They're going across as on dry ground, the scripture says. And then the pillar of fire, you know, goes away. The army pursues across the Red Sea and then it closes up in on them. I mean, this is just, I mean, miracle after miracle after miracle. And then they get out into the desert. And then they're supposed to have this 11-day journey where they're going to go across, you know, cross over the Jordan River, just go right into that promised land. But they get out there and they just grumbling, complaining, fault finding, all of this, you know. And then at some point they build a golden calf and say, no, we're going to go back to Egypt. These be our gods. And all of this going on, just, I mean, stiff. And God said, this is a stiff-necked, rebellious people. But the scripture says that the children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited. It wasn't about whether God could or couldn't. Of course, he can. And it wasn't a matter if it's God's will. It absolutely was his will, which eventually, 40 years later, they started to participate in that. You know, but that entire generation died in the desert. That's what they kept saying. We're going to just die in the desert. We're just going to die in the desert. God said, all right, according to your faith, you're going to die in the desert. And so they die in the desert. And then their children, their grandchildren end up, you know, being the ones to go out and inherit. Praise God. But the scripture says they limited the Holy One of Israel. Again, it was his will. It wasn't according to his will. It wasn't according to his power. It was according to their faith. Their faith got them exactly what they believed. They sent 10 spies out there to spy out the land. They said, no, there's some tall people over there. We're afraid. You know, never mind that you just destroyed an entire army and we didn't lose a single man. He, you know, at that time, the armies of Egypt were unmatched. You know, and the scripture talks about the number of chariots and all of these things. Not one single Israelite perished. Not one. The entire army of Pharaoh perished. And you're afraid of some tall people? Again, they limited the Holy One of Israel. So I want to invite us all tonight and continue from this moment forward. Take the limits off. Take the limits off. Again, we saw this here, I believe a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. So I purposed a long time ago, I'm just going to be a believer. I'm not going to be a doubter. Amen. Now, there's maybe things that I don't quite see or quite don't understand, but if God said it, I'm going to choose to believe God. I'm going to stick with God. And by faith, if I'll just stick with it long enough, it'll surely come to pass. Don't turn loose of it. Just keep walking with him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So John chapter 9, we're going to look at these first 12 verses here in our notes. It says, now as Jesus was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God would be displayed in him. While it is daytime, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud, and applied it to the man's eyes. Then he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. At this, his neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging began to ask, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some claim that he was, but others says, no, he just looks like him. But the man kept saying, I am the one. How then were your eyes open? They asked. He answered, the man they called Jesus made some mud and anointed my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. Where is he? He asked. I don't know, he answered. Amen. So we're going to look at this tonight here a little bit. Before we do, I just want to ask of you guys, in this story, in this passage, what stood out to you the most? What's something just kind of jumped out to you? Amen. Not all at once. Just one thing that stood out to you. Praise God. Dorothy, what stood out to you?
I guess I think about when he made the mud.
Okay.
To have a means of putting the start of his miracle working to work before, after that.
Okay. His act of making mud to activate the start of that miracle. Okay. Amen. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? Yes?
But, adversity sometimes I don't just know, but it's just like it's lying, not because of sin, but because so that God's wants to be displayed.
Okay. Amen. So Jesus doesn't enter into the blame game. He just turns over and says, no, this was so that the glory of God might be manifest in the man. Amen. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Glory to God. So tonight we do want to unpack this a little bit and kind of see again the steps that happened, because again, these things, Jesus did these things and they're recorded in the book for us, so that we can learn from this, so we can see what they did, so that we can follow their steps of faith. Amen. So again, this is for our instruction. Praise God. So we're going to see this here tonight. So first off, we're going to look at what this miracle reveals to us about Jesus. First off, Jesus sees this man differently than anyone else has ever seen him. The word says that Jesus, he was passing by, and he says, Jesus saw this man. This word saw is the same word that we saw on Sunday. We were looking at the miracle. The man, 38 years, has been lame at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus had to, came up the backside of the temple to go to him. Ends up, there's people just piled up in this place. Jesus most likely has to step over folks. He goes through this way and he ministers to one man. And the word says that Jesus saw that man. That word saw was the word horeo. This is the same word used here today. So this word saw means he scrutinized him. He examined him. He took a long investigative look. He discerned this man. He didn't just, take a casual glance. No, he's passing by and he stops. He sees the man, and undoubtedly, he's just pausing here, and I know exactly what he was doing, as I've done it many times, ministering to folks the same way. I'm looking, And even if I'm, if they're talking to me, interacting, I'm listening, but I'm really listening. I'm listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. What do you want to do here today? How do you want to minister to this man today? And so Jesus is discerning this man. He's observing this man. And then the disciples, you know, speak up and say, hey, you know, who sinned? You know, him or his parents? Again, sin consciousness. The disciples in this point in time, they are absolutely sin consciousness. Again, what a question. You know, Jesus is coming by. You know, he's looking at the man. He's waiting to hear from the Father. And they just chime in right in the middle of this. Hey, let's talk about the sin. Let's talk about, did this man sin or did his parents sin? And Jesus is like, we're not going to talk about who sinned. We're going to talk about, let's fix it. Amen. Glory to God. So again, everyone else is seeing a beggar, a problem, a theological debate is what the way they were trying to turn this into, a lifelong limitation. But Jesus responds, this happens so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Again, this is not what he is not. And I've heard people say this, like, no. God didn't do this to the man so that God could later heal the man. No, you're going to, so with that same logic, you're going to take your child whom you love, go break their leg so that you can turn around and say, let daddy fix you. Let daddy heal you, you know, or something like that. It's like, no, I've heard that theology have taught, not just in this instance, but in others as well, you know, that Jesus is the good shepherd and that somehow, you know, anyway, he goes and disciplines people by putting sickness and disease on them to try to teach them a lesson. That is so evil. That is not your Bible. Don't believe it. Amen. God is a good God. Jesus is the healer. Every time he came in and ministered healing, folks got healed. Hallelujah. And there was none righteous. No, not one. Every single one of them had all kinds of issues in their life. And Jesus never qualified and said, hey, if you will, you know, do this and not do that, then you can maybe get your healing today. No, we saw that on Sunday. He went ahead and just healed the man. And then he told him, hey, by the way, it's going to be profitable for you if you'll stop sinning. Stop sinning. Amen. And go and live in the blessing. Praise God. But he healed him. He healed him every time. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus, again, he rejects the blame and he reveals the purpose. Again, the disciples, they're trying to assign fault. They're not thinking about healing, you know, ministering healing to this man. They're just thinking about sin. You know, who missed it, the man or his parents? So just a side note, Jewish scholars, especially during this time, debated on whether one could sin while still in the womb. And they also believed that ancestral sin could be a cause of present suffering. So either he sinned, his parents, his grandparents, someone in his past sinned, and that's why he's born blind. You know, again, they're just trying to come up with, this is human logic, human reasoning, trying to figure out why bad things happen. Well, bad things happen because Adam and Eve fell in the garden and they invited sin. Since that time, the earth has been under the curse. Jesus came to restore the blessing. Hallelujah. But again, they were under the curse, so just the human genome over a period of time has invited in. So yeah, we have people today that are born with deformities and things like this and that. That's not the perfect will of God. Amen. But when we encounter it, just like Jesus did, we're not supposed to just pass on by and say, oh, isn't that pitiful? Oh, isn't that so sad? No, you're here to put things in order. Jesus said in the Great Commission, you go lay hands on the sick, they will recover. That's why you're here. Say amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's not about who missed it. It's about, let's fix it. Praise God. So again, Jesus says, while it is day, I must do the works. Is that what it says? Oh, wait, no. It says, while it is day, we, say me, we must do the works of him who sent me. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, you are an ambassador of Christ. You have been sent. Glory to God. So again, he said, while it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. So again, Jesus here in this statement includes his disciples in the work. this miracle, again, it's not just about healing. This is, again, it's in the book. This statement is in the book to reveal your calling. This is to reveal to you and I, this is our calling. This is the head of the church saying to you and I today, this is the works that you're supposed to be doing. This is why you're still here in the earth. Again, John 14, he said, hey guys, my earthly ministry is 3.5 years. I'm here in just a few hours. I got to go. Again, this is right at the Last Supper. He says, I've got to go. My time here is up, but this is where yours is really going to begin. Y'all have done some things. Yes, I've sent you out 2 by 2, the 70 of you, and y'all went out and y'all cast out demons and healed the sick and all of this stuff. That was just a foretaste. Amen. But this is what this is going to be your daily life. What you've seen me teach you and lead you and be an example to for 3.5 years, this is where you're now going to carry on. And we see that in the book of Acts. Hallelujah. And again, that was just a snapshot. Praise God. But that the work of Jesus has not stopped. It's not diminished. It carries on to this day in you and I. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Greater works, he says in John 14, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. So again, this miracle, this statement isn't just about Jesus healing this man. It's not just about the faith of this man to receive his healing. It's a revelation of our calling. Praise God. So again, while we're here on the earth, the scripture calls us to redeem the time. And so again, we have this period of divine opportunity and purpose. And once the time is up, we're not going to ever get it back. We have this one snippet of time in the scope of eternity to make an eternal difference. You and I have this span of our lifetime, however long that is. The scripture says this span of your life is but a wisp. It's but a vapor. It's here. It's gone. It's here. It's gone. I don't care if you live to be 100. That in the scope of time, it's here. It's gone. And again, what did you do with that time? Again, we did a teaching 2.5 years ago now on a series called Fruitfulness. I encourage you to go back and hear that series. And again, we were looking at what Jesus has called us to. He's called us to be fruitful. He's called us to bear fruit. Praise God. Ha ha. Thank you, Jesus. While it is day. So Jesus, we also see he uses an unexpected method. He spits. He spits. He makes mud. He applies it to the man's eyes. What we see here is what we call a creative miracle. This is not a healing. This is a creative miracle the man has never seen in his life. I don't know what was going on, whether his eyes were there, whether they weren't there, whether whatever it is. Jesus literally creates something. He goes back to the dust of the earth. He takes that dust. He spits on it. He makes clay, puts it in the man's eyes. Again, he does something that is unexpected. Praise God. But I also want to point out here, Jesus does not have a single way in which he ministers healing or creative miracles. Again, we've talked about this in times past. It wasn't like, oh, eye problem, I know exactly the right formula to minister to eyes. Oh, you got a back problem. Every single time what we've seen, Jesus will minister to people in a different way. In this case, he goes and spits and makes mud and sticks it in the man's eye sockets, right? You know, some people might be grossed out by that. Again, there's not a pat formula. So when you're going to pray over somebody who needs healing in their eyes, before you go spit in their eyes and what have you, check with Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus was doing. Again, when he said that word horeo, when he saw the man, he's looking at this man. He's not looking with his natural eyes so much. He's discerning in his spirit. That word, again, he's taking an intense look. He's discerning what's going on here. What am I going to do here today, Father? And so again, the word tells us in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus says this. He says, the Son, referring to himself, can do nothing. The Son just can't go and say, hey, I'm just going to do this because I'm Jesus and I got the power. No, that's not exalt how it worked. Jesus goes on to say in verse John 5:30, as I hear, I decide, or as I hear, I judge. as Father tells me what to do, now I go and I do it this way. That's how it works. Every single time, that's always exactly how Jesus functioned. It's not me, it's the Father dwelling in me. He does his works. I check with him. He shows me what to do. He tells me what to do. I do it that way. I say it that way. And then if they will obey that word, it'll work. That's exactly what happens here. But for you and I, we have the same instruction. John 16:13, Jesus goes on to say, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. So again, he goes on to say in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Or you could say, thy word is eternal living reality. It was, it is, it will forever be. Everything is being upheld by the power of this word. Uh-huh. So again, Holy Spirit will breathe on this word. Again, Jesus knows it's the will of the Father for this man to be healed. He knows it. So he's just checking in and listening. Horeo, I'm discerning. What do you want to do? How do you want to do it? He obviously heard. And so and with that hearing, he spits, he makes mud, he shoves it in the man's eyes and says, hey, go wash. Now, don't just wash anywhere. Go wash in Siloam. If he'd have went over to Bethesda, I mean, that again, the pool of Bethesda, that's where miracles happen, right? Why not go there? He said, no, go to Siloam. If the man had gone anywhere else, if he had chose not to go, it had never worked. Again, the Father gave very specific instruction. But now we see here again, John 16:13, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, he will not speak on his own, but he will speak. He will speak. He is speaking to you right now in every situation. Holy Spirit, I promise you, is doing his job. You will not get to heaven and stand before Jesus here in just a few more days and say, you know what? If only Holy Spirit had told me what to do. No, Holy Spirit did his job and he's going to always do his part. Amen. Are you listening? Are you discerning? Hey, praise God. He says he will speak what he hears and he will declare to you what is to come. Now we see also in Romans 8:14, again, this is our part. John 16:13, again, but how we're to respond. Romans 8:14 says here also, for how we respond, it says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Jesus, firstborn son, functioned exactly this way. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. How did he do it? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit was speaking to him. Holy Spirit was showing him. So Holy Spirit was showing him things to come. And he just responds in obedience. Every time he stays in perfect submission, perfect obedience to the Father as Holy Spirit leads him. But again, it's no different for you and I today. We're functioning the exact same way. Thank you, Jesus. Again, looking here also, Jesus, again, he requires obedience. Before the miracle manifests, again, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And what we see here is the man obeys. And what does this involve? He believes the word of the Lord while he's still blind. Again, up until this point in time, the disciples didn't know it at this point in time. But that's why they're not even thinking about a miracle here. They're just talking about sin. This man has never heard of anyone being born blind, being healed. It's never occurred to him that this is even a possibility. He doesn't even know to ask for that. He believes while he's still blind on that faith command. So again, Jesus gives him a faith command. He gives him something to go do. He walks blind. He makes his way over to the pool of Siloam, and there he washes while he's still blind. And it wasn't until he is washed in the pool of Siloam specifically, then he's able to see. Then all of a sudden his sight comes back, or not comes back there. It is actually created. So again, his act of obedience has now opened what has been closed. So again, we're going to keep saying this and saying this. faith is really not faith until it is acted upon. Faith is taking a word from God and acting in obedience to it. And so again, we kind of sum it up and say it like this. Faith is obedience to revelation. Holy Spirit will give you a word. Now, in this case, it came through the mouth of Jesus. He gave him a word. He gave him something to believe, something to act on. He chose to believe it. He chose to act on it. And when he did, God met him. God met him. And according to that man's faith, he received his miracle. Hallelujah. You have a part to play. Everybody has a part to play in their breakthrough. Again, it's not about whether Jesus can or Jesus can or it's his will. It's his will. It's his will for you to be healed. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But are you staying engaged to hear the Spirit of truth speak to you? Lord, first off, I want to establish, I know the truth. I know the truth concerning my salvation. I know the truth about what the blood has done for me in my life. I know the truth concerning healing. By your stripes, you said I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. So I'm going to start on the basis of that truth. Now, Holy Spirit, I see there's a discrepancy in my body. I see there's a discrepancy in my soul. Show me. I'm going to spend time in my prayer closet. I'm going to take as long as it takes to hear a word from God. Give me an instruction. I'm going to sit here with me, Jesus, and my Bible. Holy Spirit, breathe on this thing. And whatever he shows you to do, if you'll go do it, it will work. You will have your breakthrough. You will have your healing. And you'll keep it. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Faith is an act. Faith is obedience to revelation. So again, we have to hear what Holy Spirit through the Word of God is speaking to us and leading us to do. Praise God. So again, what this miracle also reveals about the man, he obeys without understanding. Jesus doesn't explain, you know, the mud and the spit and all that. He doesn't explain the whole process. Jesus just sees the man. There's a conversation with the disciples. Jesus just in turn, obviously he's heard. He spits, he makes clay, he sticks it in the man's eye. It just says, go wash. Go wash in the pool of Siloam. So again, the man doesn't need a whole explanation of how and why. And, you know, if you could really break this down for me, Jesus, maybe I could believe him. Maybe then I'll act on the word. No. Don't think you have to understand how this whole miracle is and all the mechanics of it. No, just get a word. Just get a direction and just go do it. Just go do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, he just simply says, go. The man goes. He acts on the word. So again, he's walking to the pool of Siloam. He's blind. The whole way, he's still blind. He's not seeing a lick. So again, faith is movement that's in agreement with the words, with the word of God, or in this case, with Jesus' instruction, who is the word. Again, he testifies after this. He testifies boldly. Yes, I'm the one. I'm the one, the man they call Jesus. I went and washed and received my sight. Again, he still doesn't even know everything at this moment, but he's testifying about what he does know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're going to look at what was the turning point of this miracle, and it was go wash. And again, I want us to help us to see the other side of this. The miracle does not happen just because Jesus was passing by. It does not happen because Jesus saw him. The miracle does not happen because Jesus spoke to him. The miracle does not happen because Jesus made mud, took clay, and put it in his eye sockets. It doesn't happen because Jesus touched him. Jesus is the healer. He is anointed. And Jesus puts hands on this man, and the man doesn't receive anything. Aha! The miracle happens when he fully obeys. When he obeys. So again, we see here faith is not passive. Faith is movement. Faith is obeying instruction. And faith is what activates this miracle. So I'm going to say it again. Faith is obedience to revelation. You have to hear from God. But once you've heard, don't be single-minded, single-focused. Go do it. Go act on it. Praise God. So again, I want to recap here how this miracle was activated. Again, Jesus saw him. Before the man ever moved, Jesus made the first move towards him. Jesus has already made the first move towards you and I. That is his death, his burial, and his resurrection, followed by his ascension. Jesus made the first move for everything you could ever need in your life. He has already fulfilled it. He's already prepared the way. It's just waiting for you and I to receive it. And you can have as much of it as you want. If you just want to receive salvation and know that one day you're going to make it to heaven, and if that's what you want to have faith for, you can receive that. And you can leave everything else on the table. You can totally disobey everything else. You can go to heaven early because you've got sickness and disease. You can live in poverty and lack. You can live in darkness, not knowing what the will of God is for your life, and never do any of it. And you can still go to heaven because you can have faith to receive that much of it. But I'm here to tell you, it all belongs to you in Christ. Everything belongs to you in Christ, not just so that you can go enjoy it, so that you can go enjoy it and be a living testimony of it and act as an ambassador and now on purpose go out and tell others about it, to go be the one who's preaching the gospel to your neighbors, go be the one who's laying hands on the sick and see them then recover. When you're coming across the devil, he says you're to go cast him out in Jesus' name. You can have it all. You can have it all, and it belongs to you right now according to your faith. Glory to God. And I'm looking forward to it because that person, when we stand before the Lord in just a few more days, we're going to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Many are just going to hear, well, I gave you my name. I gave you all authority. I gave you my life. I laid it down for you. And what did you do with it? What did you do with that time? Amen. Hallelujah. So again, Jesus makes the first move. Jesus speaks with purpose. With this simple statement, Jesus reframes the entire situation. He removes the blame, the shame, the speculation, and he restores and replaces all this with purpose. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Again, this happens so that God's works may be displayed. Now we see here what happened next. Jesus, again, he makes that first act. He makes mud. He puts it in the man's eyes. This is the moment that Jesus initiates the miracle process. Now, again, the mud didn't heal the man. Obedience heals the man. Mud created a moment of decision. He had no idea that this was even possible. The disciples didn't know that this was possible. Jesus had to give him a word that he could believe. Again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. He didn't know it, but now he does. Now he's got a decision to make. Do I believe? Do I dare, take time and however far away he is, get some help, make my way over to the pool of Siloam and wash? Might make a fool out of myself. This is what, thoughts that could be going through his head. He has a decision to make. He acts. Jesus gives him something that in the natural makes no sense. It makes no sense at all. It doesn't feel spiritual, I'm sure. Praise God, it doesn't look like a miracle here. Faith is tested when the method is unexpected. Faith will be tested when the method is unexpected. Go wash. Go dip. Amen. He may give you some strange instruction you've never heard before. I would encourage you, go do it. Go fill pots with water. These are 20 to 30 gallon pots. Go fill them with water. That took a while. Go fill them with water and then take that water and draw it out and go take it to the master of the feast. That water didn't become wine until they were on their way
or right up until the moment the master of the feast received it. Who's ever heard of such thing? It made no sense. But thankfully, Mary told them boys, whatever he tells you to do, y'all go do it. She didn't know what it was. She didn't know how it was going to happen. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, again, he gives this command, go wash. Again, that is that turning point. Jesus just gives a clear, simple, actionable instruction. And I want to really note this. Faith always has a go. There's always a go in your in faith. There has to be something that God's going to give you an instruction, whether it's to speak to this mountain, you know, get up and go over here and dip. There's going to be some action that's going to on your part. And again, don't be surprised if it makes no sense to your natural mind. It's not supposed to. You're not natural. You are not natural. You were created in the image and likeness of God, a speaking spirit just like God. Huh. Thank you, Lord. Again, he gives a simple instruction. He goes. The man obeys. He's walking blind. He has obeyed with. Thank you, Lord. Again, faith is not seeing and then obeying. Faith is obeying while still blind. Faith is not seeing and then obeying. Faith is obeying while still blind. I don't see it. So again, Thomas, stop being faithless. Thomas said, no, I've got to see it and I've got to touch and I've got to do all of this. And, you know, I need you to tell me, Jesus, about this, you know, encounter that we had, you know, a few months back. Is that really you? Hey, all of this stuff. And Jesus, no. Stop being faithless. Stop being faithless. Just believe the word. Hallelujah. So again, Jesus gave the command. The man obeyed. He gets up. He starts making movement. The man washed in the pool of Siloam, which he's acting on the word. So again, faith is not just starting the journey. Faith is finishing it all the way through in obedience. He has to actually go not just to some puddle down the street. He can't just go over to Bethesda. He has to go to Siloam specifically, and you've got to get there and you have to wash. Only then. Praise God. But what happened? The man saw. He had the manifestation. He had the breakthrough. He had the miracle. And so again, this shows us a pattern that we keep seeing and all of these miracles. God speaks, we obey, God performs. God speaks, we have to hear. We got to hear, what's that word? What's my word? What's my direction? Give me a faith command. So again, just like Peter we saw a few weeks ago, Lord, if that's you, command me to come to you on the water. Peter had figured this out by now. He learned enough. I need a faith command. Lord, give me something to do. Give me a word that I can act on, because if you will, then I'll do it and it'll work. And it did. It did. Same thing. Lord, all I need is a word from you. Now, I know the will of God. I just need a word from God. What's my word? What's my direction? What's my action? Amen. And if you'll take the time to hear it, and if you'll be obedient to it, God will perform it every time. And it can be something so simple. Because oftentimes you don't need to go climb Mount Everest. It's something that's simple that anyone can do. Praise God. He's not going to call you to do something you can't do. Thank you, Lord. So again, Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. He's watching over his word to perform it. But again, you and I are the limiting factor. So take the limits off. Take the limits off. All things are possible to me because I'm going to choose to believe. I'm going to choose to believe. It's been this way my entire life. I was born this way. I was born blind. You know, they said this is terminal. They said this is incurable. Huh? Really? Really? That's no problem. This is so that God may get glory in the miracle healing. Now, he didn't cause it, but he is certainly here to bring deliverance to it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So with this, we want to close out online. We're going to have a few discussion questions that we're going to pair up here in the room and spend a few moments just praying over one another as well. But I want to invite you here Friday prayer 9 to 10, pre-service prayer this Sunday, 9:20 to 9:40, and then service starts at 10. And then we're going to meet right back here next Wednesday at 6:30 online. We're going to dismiss and just know this, that in the meantime, that God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.